So thanks for joining, everyone. My name's Hattie. I work for the Race Equality Network. For those of you who don't know, we're an infrastructure organisation and charity working across Bradford, supporting grassroots organisations. And we have launched this series of talks for Race Equality Week. Today, we're going to hear from the staff of Kunafa and Tea in Town, who are Syrian refugees who set up that business. And thank you all for coming. And please feel free to ask any questions in the chat. But we will hopefully allocate the last section of the talk for answering questions. Please keep your mic on mute if you've got any background noise, but feel free to put your camera on, Gage. Over to you.
It's just like a quick thing about the journey and how we've done the whole of coming here to the UK. And so there's a few things I'm going to talk about. It's about me. Education, work experience, Syrian war, traveling here to the UK, how did we start as a business, and a bit of equality and diversity, because I think the whole thing about equality, and I'm sure that you talk about it in the last few sessions during the week. So my name is Hisham Al-Mahani. I'm married, I have two children, I have a few degrees. I have two diplomas, or actually three degrees. And one in sustainable development management. Also, I have a bachelor's degree in accountancy, and I have also a master's degree in international development. If we start here about my work experience, so when I was in Syria, the whole idea was for me, since I was young, I wanted to help other people. So I started working in a telecommunication company. Then I moved to an organization, NGO, non-governmental organization called Bidaya. So Bidaya in Arabic means start. So we used to help people to start their businesses, small businesses. So like entrepreneurs. So this is like one of the things, this is the funders in this big gathering that people like who are funding and the mentors. So I used to have like a mentorship and people who want to pay some money. At that time, it was about $4,000 to a young person who can start a business with a new creative idea. So, they need to have like some business plans, support plans, just to, so they can start their business. So this is Bidaya. Then I've been headhunted to another organization called SIA. So SIA is a short for Syrian Young Entrepreneur Association. So this Syrian Young Entrepreneur Association is different from Bidaya. Is not only, we don't give money at that, it's only empowering young people, empowering women. So we have different projects. One of the projects was giving 1 million Syrian lira to people to start their businesses. So it's one off. So there will be competition where people put their ideas, then there will be panel who check these things, then have like mechanism of shortlisting till they get, then they will have a year, like I think 6 months of developing their idea. Then after 6 months, there will be another panel. There will be about 10 people. There will be like people who will be checking everything. And then after that, they will say, okay, we have three people, and then we'll have a celebration where we announce who's getting the million Syrian lira. Also, we have other projects who are supporting women. We have a project in a rural area in Syria to support ladies to start their own businesses. So it's really good. So at that point, I would start thinking, my background is in accountancy, and there's not much in Syria about people works in NGOs and how to do it academically. He want to start thinking about how can I move to the next level. So this picture on the left side is myself and my team. So here we have, for example, in the same project, we have used to do training. So on the right side, this is young people who are doing training for them in different, empowering them in different life skills. This is here myself when we started doing about social media and how we can take advantage of social media in terms of businesses. I've done like one of the, I've told you about my degrees in diploma. I've done it in Amsterdam, in Netherlands. So this picture for me where we're doing like a sustainable development. Talking about how I came here. So when I was deciding at that point where I want to move forward, I applied for a scholarship by British Council called the Chevening. So alhamdulillah, I was one of the lucky people who gained, I've got this. So I think around 300 people applied and was one out of 10 who got that scholarship. At the same time, at that time, I was participating in a peaceful movement against the Syrian regime. So one of my friends were caught and I was wanted by the Syrian regime. So alhamdulillah, I could escape and went to Lebanon when I started like to come here to the UK. So I'll put you here a short video about ITV. They've done like an interview with me about one of my relatives who died because of the bombing of Syrian regime back in Syria. So I think let me put the sound.
Happened. Somebody have to smash the door so they can.
That's when you brought them over here.
Yeah.
It was after the second bomb attack at his family's home in Syria that Hisham brought them over to Bradford. He's lived here 5 years and his family's been granted asylum. But not all of his relatives have been as lucky. Last month, his 9-year-old cousin Hala was killed in an airstrike in Ghouta.
First, like, I was speechless. I started crying with no control. Yeah, because what's happened, like, if you think about it, if you put yourself in their shoes, it might be me, myself. If I didn't have been lucky to come here, it was maybe me with my family. My daughter gets so emotional, so she wrote a letter, actually, for her, and she kept it with her.
This is the heartbreaking letter from one 9-year-old who made it over here to another who didn't. In it, she says, "You're not on your own. You have died, but I'm never going to forget you. I hope you can see me from heaven and see how sad I am." Last week's suspected chemical attack is said to have killed more than 75 people. These images apparently show many children like Hala in the aftermath. Prompted by this, at the weekend, the UK, along with France and America, launched an airstrike at targets alleged to have been involved in making the chemical weapons. Hisham, this was too little, too late.
For me, as a Syrian, I don't think there's differentiation between chemical attack or a bullet or like a bomb, all the same, because at the end, it kills people. For the later action, I think if somebody have a cancer, and you've done the treatment after the cancer was spread and the person is dying, I think this is the same what happened now.
He says targeted bombing and political negotiations should have taken place far earlier. And while the Prime Minister discusses the weekend's military action, Hisham had this message.
I only can say something. If her family was in Syria, what she will do to do, to so, and she had the power. If like kids, husband, partner, mom, dad is locked in Syria, what she will do in her power to sort this problem out.
You think she'd act differently?
Yes.
So this is a short video about a shot of what's happening in Syria. I think everybody is aware about what's going on, but just to get the idea about, so this is Hala. Why, this is her picture taken by her dad, my wife, uncle, who was burying her in the ground. And personally, when my wife was in Syria and was here, they were attacked, and my little girl, she was 3-4 years, when this is, by the way, on the left side, this is my wife's hand, and this is bullets that been went to my father-in-law house. You can see here the bullets after it hits the wall, and the right side how the bullets have gone through the windows. And this is the corner where is the house of my father-in-law, where they start to shoot and attack, and they didn't care about who's living there. This is also my house back in Syria. I'll show you on the left side how it was. This is my like kids' room. Like any maybe family here in the UK will have this room for the kids. And on the right side where it's covered with, because there's a bomb or missile came through and a hole in the wall. This is also the yard that I have and how it was destroyed things. Now, my trip here to the UK. So I think many people, like when they think about people who are coming from different countries, some people think that this is taking advantage of the economy or why they come into our like country. Trust me, nobody will be living, like take an example, people who live here in the UK. If I ask them, do you want to leave the UK? They will say no. They have a job, they have their house, they have their family. Why on earth they want to leave their house or leave their country? All refugees, they're being forced for different reasons to leave their country because of war, because of economy, because they're being wanted. There's different plenty of things. I'm one of the people who left my country where financially I was a really good place. I had my own car, my own house. I was educated. My family is well known there. I was like having really, I was a CEO for organization. So I have nothing to say I want to leave. I was wanted by the Syrian regime, full stop. I couldn't like be safe for my life. That's why I left. And alhamdulillah, God have his own plan for us. I was lucky to have this scholarship by British Council to run away in a legal way to come here to the UK. I will be honest with you guys. I don't know if I was stayed in Syria, how I could survive. Maybe I'm not among you now. Maybe I died, maybe in one of the Syrian regime prisons, or being tortured, or being having one of my limbs removed. So alhamdulillah, I'm really in the position. That's why I thought I have to do something. So this is my graduation from Bradford University, when I've done my master. Again, when I came here to the UK, I thought I need to do something. So I participated in a few demonstrations. So the picture on the left side is, this is myself, and this is my partner, Abdul Rahman, who also been alongside since I came here to the UK. On the right side, this is also, we have established a charity called the Syrian Association of Yorkshire, where we had to do some activities where we help Syrian community and at the same time do things for the Syria, even we left Syria. So also on the left side, this is an activity done in Bradford University about how the Syrian regime acts for innocent people. Also, I was helping a charity called BIMA, which is a Palestinian organization that at that time they were helping Syrian refugees in their camps and getting some money for them. So I've raised money about £50,000 for that charity. So I have this charity dinner. Also, this is the aids that on the right side they've got into Syria. And this is also another like fair that we participated in London to raise money for Syria. Also, as a part of the community, I took a part in one of the debates that happened about Brexit. And from the point of view of a person, of a refugee, what do I think if England want to leave the UK? So I took a part in that place, and just to show like how me as a person, we are not refugees just like sitting in the tent. Many refugees, like I want just to make people aware about refugees is not people living in tents. Some of them are educated, some of them they are working, some of them have their opinion, like have some passion to do things. So I worked since I came, after I finished my graduation, I worked in an organization called Horton Housing. So that organization had really good support for Syrian families here in the UK. And alhamdulillah, during my work with this organization, my work being noticed. So I've been in, been nominated to be the best employee in that organization for the year. And I think we went to Manchester and we get like the shortlisted, the best like 10. Unfortunately, I didn't get like, there are other people like competing, but I was nominated in the area from Yorkshire to be going there for the whole UK. Also, I was promoted. So I used to be a support worker that support families, Syrian families. Then because of my hard work, I was promoted to be a manager to look after unaccompanied asylum seekers. So I used to run a place, a hostel for unaccompanied asylum seekers, which also I have supported asylum seekers under 18 to seek a new life here. It was amazing. It's a rewarding job. You feel you're doing something. You understand how they gone through things and you want them to support them. So at the background at the same time, my wife, my partner's wife and my partner, my other partner, mother and himself were doing things back at home, starting from COVID time where people sitting at home don't know what to do. So starting doing like selling food, Syrian food from home. So this is how we can say, how did we start? Again, this is to show like we are not just people coming here and okay, we think we have ideas, we have things we want to do. We need to be part of the community, we need to do something. So this is some pictures about how we were serving kunafa on the left side from home and how we like, this is the right side where last Ramadan, where we were doing like a pack for people like for iftar. So they have a pack of food. I hope nobody is hungry. And I was thinking like they want to like, it's close to lunchtime. Also again, some pictures from kunafa. This is like something called fatayr. This is something traditional at Pit City that we do. I hope people who visit kunafa, they know what I'm talking about. So I meant to do like these things where you can see the background of how we start a symbol from symbol kitchen back at home. Before we've done this. The idea of the restaurant is, this is like some restaurants back in Syria. Some people think, oh yes, Syria like maybe destroyed the thing. This is a picture of one of the restaurants. You can see how beautiful that restaurant. So we want to bring something from our country back here just to show, okay, like the test, we have the test. We need to have some culture where we start putting something. So you can see here where we have put the maps of the building. So the building that we occupy now used to be a BOP, was built in 1902. So this is 120 years ago. So that is so old. So imagine like if you come here and see how the restaurant is, it's now the moment. See the differences, how we change it from an old bob that was built in last century to a new place, you'll be amazed. So this is some pictures of how we try to put it and to do things. And we, of course, our like ladies will have the upper hands in taking the decoration and taking their opinions. Again, this is part of the equality side where we took their opinion about what are the things. To be honest, even they were the main things about everything we're doing. They have the say, they have put their touches here. That's why you come to our restaurant, you find it very homey. You find that food tasting like your home and also the decoration and everything. I'm not sure, like, have you seen this video before? I'm not sure about how... I know like I talk about us, but I think I have to talk about equality and a bit of diversity. I didn't mention to you guys, I was part of the equality and diversity team at Horton Housing. So I'm really like done about, I stayed there for about 8 years. So we were making sure that Everything within the organization is fair and equal for everybody in the organization, all policy and procedures. So I thought also to mention a bit of equality and diversity things, and how to see, like, as people who are less fortunate, what they are in life. So I'll leave you with this video.
Hey, line up! Line up! Everybody line up! We're about to race! Everybody line up! Shoulder to shoulder, take off your backpacks. Basketball, line up, we're about to race. Hey, we are racing for a $100 bill. The winner of this race will take this. It's a $100 bill. Before I say go, I'm gonna make a couple statements. If those statements apply to you, I want you to take two steps forward. If those statements don't apply to you, I want you to stay right where you're at. Take two steps forward if both of your parents are still married. Take two steps forward if you grew up with a father figure in the home. Take two steps forward if you had access to a private education. Take two steps forward if you had access to a free tutor growing up. Take two steps forward if you've never had to worry about your cell phone being shut off. Take two steps forward if you've never had to help mom or dad with the bills. Take two steps forward if it wasn't because of your athletic ability, you don't have to pay for college. Take two steps forward if you never wondered where your next meal was going to come from. I want you guys up here in the front just to turn around and look. Every statement I've made has nothing to do with anything any of you have done. Has nothing to do with decisions you've made. Everything I have said has nothing to do with what you've done. We all know these people up here have a better opportunity to win this $100. Does that mean these people back here can't race? No. We would be foolish to not realize we've been given more opportunity. We don't want to recognize that we've been given a head start. But the reality is we have. Now, there's no excuse. They still got to run their race. You still got to run your race. But whoever wins this $100, I think...
Sometimes the opportunities is not how... This equality when you give the same things for people where maybe you need everybody to have the same view in the right picture when you have equity. Thank you, everybody. If you want to have any questions or... you need to ask anything about Kunafati on our start. I'd be happy to take questions for the next 5 minutes.
Hi, I have a few, if you don't mind. Just in general, what are the view of Syrians when they come to the UK? Do they find people welcoming, especially when they came to Bradford?
I'll be honest with you, since I work of the community here, whether on the side of professional Horton Housing or on the side of the Syrian Association of Yorkshire, I've seen the community really very helpful and really supportive to see a community. Even when we do like any charity, everybody wants to take a part, everybody wants to help and support. So yes, the answer is yes. They were very supportive. The community are very supportive.
Okay. And also in terms of Kunafati, do you think you're going to, I mean, I've been in there many times, and when I first went, I think I spoke to somebody, they talked about the makeup of the restaurant and how the colors resembled your Syrian architecture. And do you have any thoughts about expanding?
At the moment, we just started about 6 months ago, and we are obviously like we need to make sure our fees the ground are now solution, but at the moment we're not sure when. We need to make sure that we are have consistency of delivering the same service, the same quality of food. And this is something like we like before we opened the restaurant, we were like anybody go to a restaurant where they open like and they then the quality go down. We don't want to go that way. We want to make sure whenever like we do successful to keep it, do it all the time. We think about expansion.
Okay, great. And then when you talk about equality and diversity, are there men helping out in the kitchen?
Yes, yeah, obviously, yes.
Okay. Just to let everybody know, this session is being recorded and it will be available on BCB radio either today at 4 o'clock or then at 2 o'clock. Hisham, your story is really moving. We know from the struggles that the Syrian people go through and how you've come so far is really amazing, and what you've achieved is really amazing. And we wish you luck going forward. I would recommend anyone to go to Kanafa Tea, have their Kanafa, it's amazing. And if there's any further questions, you can email us and we can pass them on to Hisham. I know that you have to go. I'm really sorry about the hacking of the session. It's something that's out of my control. But is there any, Hisham, one thing that we wanted to ask you is that one of the themes is to take away an action for Race Equality Week. Is there something that you want to share with us, or you would recommend that we do, maybe like read a book, go see something, learn about, anything to do with Syria and help out anywhere? Is there anything that you would like us to action?
Yeah, I think Dia have mentioned this in the message to say ending racism. I think this is something hard. You can't end this because there are always some people who will be racist. I think that from my training, from my experience, is the way that we think, the way that we deal with things, the way why we equal, like, for example, as a Muslim, Allah like have taught us that there's nobody have better things than other body, whether like he is like an Arab and non-Arab, whether he's white or black, whatever that color, everybody's supposed to be equal. Also, Umar ibn Khattab, he said, there's how you can slave people and they were being born from their mother like free. So if you think about the same way that we do about people have, like, good thing about diversity, people think different ways. You have to accept people think differently. Otherwise, you would not have seen the way that we are now at the moment, the way that we are developing, because different ideas. So take, for example, like who created the iPhone. He was a Syrian refugee. So he was a Syrian refugee who came and looked after by American family who have now Apple. So I think that if this person wasn't there, he stayed in Syria, what's going to happen? And this is one example. There's a plenty of other examples, hundreds of examples where people came from different backgrounds and they have done something that's really meaningful. I mean, like useful for the humanity. So I think we need to change our mindset or the way of thinking and start accepting other people's idea. Yeah. And at least if you're not happy with my idea, you can keep it for yourself without like challenging me or being against me or saying things which is racist.
Okay, and just to end on another note, how is the situation in Syria at the moment now?
I've just been talking to my father-in-law and my mother-in-law because Israel had attacked an area with missiles. Alhamdulillah, nobody been killed or anybody affected. But in Syria now, the situation is really bad. Whether like the economy is hitting there, whether it's still the war or other things. So the situation is not good. We need your prayers and support for the Syrians there.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing all that with
thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was really kind of you to come.
Thank you, everybody, and I hope to see you at Kanafa Tea sometime.